Hi, I'm Mary Harrell with Mater Dei Radio, and kids all around town are getting geared up to head back to school. But Mater Dei Radio listeners, we've been in school all summer long. We've been in apologetic school, that is. And today, Catholic Answers apologist Carla Broussard is back as our learned professor, helping us tackle the roadblocks that prevent people from hearing and accepting the good news of Christ. All the material we'll cover today is available in Carla's book called Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And this is chapter 9. And the obstacle we're talking about today is a rather emotional one. And it is, how can I believe in God when He allows so many bad things to happen to me? So Carla, thanks for being with us today. And where do we start with this one?
Yeah, it's great to be back on with you, Mary. Yeah, I think what we're dealing with here, Mary, is the emotional problem of evil, which is distinct from the intellectual problem of evil that we've been dealing with over the past few segments. So rather than it being an intellectual puzzle to try and solve of how to reconcile an all-good God and the existence of evil, this is more of the person's in pain and perhaps is angry at God if he is there for allowing such things to happen to him and is in the darkness and can't find it in the light. So now what we want to do, Mary, is we kind of want to put on the theologian's hat. Now, granted, at this point of conversation with our friend, we haven't proven the truth of Christianity yet.
Right.
But at least we can share with our friend that Christianity does have some light to shed or to shine in the midst of the darkness. So here's how I do it in the book. So, for example, in strategy one, Mary, it's important that we point out to people who are suffering, and even for our own lives, that Jesus comes and reveals that all suffering will eventually end. And that for people who believe in him, who stay faithful to him, or who at least seek truth and goodness in ways they know how, even if they're not responsible for their ignorance of Jesus, that God will compensate those who suffer with great rewards in the eternal life of heaven. So it's the promise of eternal life, Mary, the dark door of time being thrown open and revealing that we have a destiny of perfect, definitive happiness and a glory that will outweigh whatever suffering was permitted and that we experienced in this life.
And we pull this from scripture, right?
That's right. Yeah, this is straight from scripture. Jesus promises it on the Mount of Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:4. Happier are those who mourn, for they shall be consoled, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a promise of Jesus. St. Paul writes in Romans 8:18 that he considers our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And of course, Peter would teach the same thing in 1 Peter 5:10, that we're going to suffer for a little bit, but God will restore us, support us, strengthen us, establish us. John in Revelation 21:1-4 talks about the new heaven and the new earth where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. So Christianity reveals something to us, that we have a destiny that God is offering us, a destiny that we call heaven, which the Catechism defines in paragraph 1024, the ultimate end and fulfillment of the deepest human longings, that state of supreme, definitive happiness. And you know, Mary, this happiness is not just a spiritual happiness, but even a bodily happiness, because essential to the Christian message is that at the end of time, there will be a bodily resurrection, St. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus teaches it as well in John 5. But in that bodily resurrection, Mary, we're going to receive a body that takes on new characteristics. It's going to be imperishable and incorruptible. It's not going to corrupt. And it's going to take on the characteristics of spirit, not being confined by space and matter. In fact, Mary, our glorified bodies at the end of time will be modeled after Jesus's glorified body. And St. Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians 15:49. So, you know, our friend's desire for a life without suffering is not futile. That's the beauty of the Christian message. We have this a desire to live our lives without suffering. Well, guess what? Christianity says there will be a life free from suffering to satisfy that desire if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all suffering will eventually end, which can give hope in the midst of the darkness, Mary. So we realize, as tragic as our sufferings are in this life, Christianity says it's not ultimately tragic.
It will not go on forever, and it will end in something glorious.
Yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. So that's strategy one.
Okay. Strategy two.
All right. Let's move forward. All right. Now, strategy two and strategy three kind of are like two sides of the same coin. So in strategy two, what we want to share is that Christianity teaches that suffering, when offered to God out of love through Jesus Christ, can be a means of obtaining eternal life for ourselves, you see? So this is where we begin to see the purpose and meaning of suffering. That, you know, what our Lord does, Mary, this is beautiful, and I think I got this from Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen quite some time ago, where he said, okay, so suffering is this discordant note in this symphony, right? You got this note that's out of place. But what our blessed Lord does is he takes that discordant note and he creates a whole new symphony with suffering. And here's how. Suffering can be a means of obtaining eternal life for ourselves. St. Paul teaches in Romans 8:17, if we suffer with Christ, we may also be glorified with him. If we only suffer with him, he says, so that we may also be glorified with him. So our suffering can contribute to our own salvation. St. Paul teaches in Romans 12:1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, he says. So if we offer, you know, old grandma and grandpa would always say, offer it up, boy.
Offer it
right?
up. Offer, yeah, it,
offer
up.
It up. And there's profound truth, because if we offer our sufferings up in the name of Jesus, in, through, and with him, Mary, that act becomes an act of worship. And if an act of worship of God, then an act of love. And if an act of love of God, then guess what? That contributes to my eternal salvation.
Excellent. Okay, so strategy one, your suffering will end and will end in something glorious. But strategy two, the suffering has meaning if you offer it up to God.
That's right. We can find purpose. So we got hope by looking to the future, but we also have hope in the present, because I can offer my suffering up and transform it to be a means by which I am increasing in love, increasing in holiness, and contributing to my final salvation at the end. And finally, the other side of the coin is that not only is suffering salvific for myself, can contribute to my own salvation, but it can actually contribute to the salvation of others. And through this lens, we can see that as Christians, we can be heroes, right? I mean, it's heroic for soldiers to sacrifice themselves on the battlefield for the freedom of others. But guess what, Mary, as Christians, we can be heroes as well in sacrificing ourselves, lifting up our sufferings for the freedom of others, that is, to free them from the slavery of sin. Because, Mary, I can offer my suffering for you, and you as a member of the body of Christ, my suffering can contribute to an increase in grace for you. For somebody who's outside of the mystical body of Christ, when I offer up my suffering, I say, hey, Lord, I'm going to offer up this suffering for my brother or sister who's left the church. Well, God will shower actual graces, temporary helps, upon that person to enlighten their mind and move their will to truth and goodness. And this is exactly how St. Paul views his own suffering in 2 Corinthians 1:6. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. Colossians 1:24, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. That is the church.
And what a great refutation of people saying in the spiritual way, oh, we're all connected and, you know, everything has a meaning and things. But to say, no, specifically, we are all connected because I can offer my sufferings up for you, specifically for you. And that's what the church teaches us. And that's an amazing thing for all of us to get our head around.
Amen. As members of the mystical body of Christ, we can affect healing in each other. For those who are not members of the mystical body of Christ, our sufferings are still beneficial for them, but just in different ways, because it's meriting God to bring about actual good, to shower special helps upon them in order to lead them to faith so that they can become members of the mystical body of Christ.
Well, my dishwasher broke this morning and I feel better already, because I can offer that up for whoever I want.
Amen to that.
Carlo's book is a terrific resource. It has a great list in this chapter in particular about suffering, a great list of scriptural references for all these different strategies. Carlo, tell our listeners where they can go to get your book.
shop.catholic.com, and that's Prepare the Way.
Fantastic. Carlo, your kids heading back to school, or are they homeschooled?
We're homeschooled, but we're actually gearing up. They were just cleaning up the classroom yesterday, getting all their stuff together.
So we should all offer our sacrifices for Carlo's wife, because
amen. She would definitely appreciate that.
All right, Carlo, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you.